So maybe you can kind of go through the background for the Medalist trial, and then we can talk about what was looked at and what it showed.
In the original studies, those were usually used originally for prevention of osteoporosis, and it was noted that the dose-limiting toxicity was erythrocytosis. And then that obviously got everybody interested to test those drugs for anemia. They were tested for anemia and myeloma, chemotherapy-related anemia originally, and then we started using those in MDS. Our colleagues in Germany started the trials with luspatercept for MDS in a phase 1, phase 2 dose-finding study. And in those studies, they noted a signal that the patients that had refractory anemia with ring sideroblasts, which is a unique subtype of MDS, probably accounts for like 10-20% of the MDS cases, patients have overall good survival, less likelihood to go to leukemia, but they become all transfusion dependent over many years. So they noted a signal that there was higher responses. In the phase 1, phase 2, there were almost 50-60% responses for anemia, particularly in those patients that have the refractory anemia ring sideroblast. So based on that, the Medalist study was designed. Now, the drug is a subcutaneous injection. It's given every 3 weeks. In the phase 1, phase 2, with both agents, the sotatercept and luspatercept, there were really no major toxicity or side effects, myalgias, arthralgias, but no major side effects. So the phase 3 study was designed to particularly target patients with lower risk MDS that have ring sideroblasts that are transfusion dependent, where they were randomized between luspatercept and placebo. And in 2-to-1 randomization fashion, the primary endpoint was red blood cell transfusion independence at 8 weeks. Secondary endpoints included red blood cell transfusion for 12 weeks as well as 24 weeks. So the study randomized almost 157 patients to the luspatercept arm. The rest were in the control arm. And the study met the primary endpoint, where almost 38% of the patients on the luspatercept became transfusion independent, compared to less than 13%. And so was also the secondary endpoints, where patients that were at 12 weeks and 24 weeks, more than 30% were transfusion independent. Now, the study included patients with variable burden of blood transfusion. So some of them were heavily transfusion dependent and some were less transfusion dependent. And the less transfusion dependent patients, who on average required less than 4 units of transfusion every 8 weeks, the response was measured by the increase in the hemoglobin in those patients. And in that subset of patients, more than 60% of the patients achieved a 1.5 gram per deciliter increase in the hemoglobin on the luspatercept arm. There was no signal of correlation to the EPO endogenous level in those patients, no difference based on the age or the gender of patients in terms of responses. The transfusion independence duration, almost around 40% of the patients that were responding to luspatercept did maintain their response for almost around a year. Safety toxicity was similar to phase 1 and phase 2, no major really side effects, all minor side effects in terms of arthralgias, myalgias, no signal of increased leukemia transformation in those patients.